last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars, the next exciting chapter for Mazars. Same local team, new global reach.
Now we're joined by Ian Guider of the Business Post. Ian, good evening to you.
Evening, Will.
If we can kick things off with what's happening at Intel at the moment. So potentially we could be looking at some very expensive exit packages for the company, potentially up to €500,000 if redundancies are taken.
Yeah, good evening, Will. There's a lot of reports over the weekend papers in both the Business Post and the Sunday Times about the problems that are affecting Intel worldwide. They're cutting 15,000 jobs and the impact that may have on its Irish operations. And I think it shows you the scale of how eager the company's management are to reduce the number of people working here in Ireland. There's around 4,500 people at their big semiconductor manufacturing plants down in Leixlip in Kildare. And the Business Post and the Sunday Times reporting that the company is preparing to offer staff 8 weeks' salary per year of service. Now, that is a lot of money for lots of people who earn substantial sums at Intel. So just to give you one example, there obviously are going to be some people who will be there on substantial packages, but just take an engineer who would be earning €120,000 a year. They could be in line for an exit package of about €240,000. And if you're on somewhere in the region of €200,000 a year, and these are massive salaries, but remember, these are very skilled people. Lots of them would have been there for some time, have big salaries, would have share options and bonuses. Some staff could be tempted to leave with redundancy packages of almost €500,000. Now, they are unheard of in many other companies, including in the technology sector. The redundancy regime in this country, if the statutory package is 2 weeks per year of service, capped at €600. Most of the other technology companies will, when they were cutting jobs over the last couple of years, probably only paid people 2 weeks statutory plus 2 weeks wages per year of service. But I think just shows you how Intel are under so much pressure. They reported a loss a couple of weeks ago of €1.5 billion. Their sales are falling. They are really struggling to catch up with the newest generation of semiconductors. They're losing out to the likes of NVIDIA, the likes of ARM, the likes of AMD, who are getting huge orders for their very fast chips to invest in artificial intelligence and data centers. And therefore, Intel is having to cut costs because it wants to invest elsewhere. And to get people out the door who have been with the company for a long time, they're going to have to pay up in the short term.
Now, if we're talking about 15,000 job cuts potentially across the company worldwide, there's a workforce of around 5,000 here in Ireland. Are there any estimations, Ian, on how many people might be affected here?
No, and the company hasn't commented, but lots of the weekend reports suggest that somewhere in the region of 700 voluntary redundancies could be sought. I think, Will, if you divide that number into the staff here, that's around 15%. So it could be a global number. I think the fact that Intel's Irish operations are so important to it globally might cushion that number a little bit. It will probably be in the hundreds. It'll take a number of weeks before we actually find out the figures. They do have to notify the Department of Enterprise of any job losses over 30, so we'll find out in a few weeks. But I think the fact that Intel's Irish operations received a huge investment just a couple of months ago, a big private equity firm invested $11 billion in Intel's newest plant out in Leixlip, that shows you how important it is to exporting semiconductors worldwide. What Intel have pinned their hopes on is, for years, they used to be the standard chip. You would have seen it in your laptop or your desktop PC, there'd be a little sticker on it saying Intel Inside. It hasn't had that position in a long time. As I said, the hot area of where Intel does now, it's in artificial intelligence and it's lagging, but it is investing in that area. And the Irish operations, which were only opened a couple of months ago by the Taoiseach, they received that investment. And I think they'll look to that bit of Leixlip and say, this is the future for us. And hopefully that will mitigate any of these job losses.
We're right in the middle of lobbying season ahead of the budget, and the Hardware Association of Ireland have been making their pitch to Jack Chambers.
They have, and I'm sure his rubbish bin is overflowing with all of the pre-budget submissions that come in from the various lobby groups. But the Hardware Association, which represent all the builders, merchants and people involved in building supplies around the country, they've actually come up with some really decent proposals. I've read through it today, and I've read through lots of other submissions from various other groups, but these are not going to cost a whole lot of money, but might actually help get a bit of housing supply on the market. Because what they're focusing on, they're saying, look, we need to build so many homes per year in this country. We have a backlog of around 380,000 homes. If you're going to start off with new builds, that's just going to take some time. So they're saying to the government and Jack Chambers, look, we have lots of vacant buildings around the country. Lots of them are shops that are vacant. Lots of them are commercial premises that are vacant. Or there are rooms above shops that are vacant. They say that around 80% of rooms above Irish commercial property are vacant. In Europe, it's around 5%. Can't we turn these buildings, these empty buildings, into residential units living above the shop? There's been an effort to by the government to invest in this area. You get a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand a year. What the Hardware Association is saying, look, there are simple ways you could go about making sure that all those shops that are derelict in the city centre, you could turn them into livable units for people, apartments and homes for many people. It's going to require grants. You can get maybe 70,000 euro, they're saying, a grant like that. What about tempting the owners of these buildings to part ways with them? What about an incentive so that they wouldn't have to pay capital gains tax when they sell it? A small tax break wouldn't cost a huge amount of money. More grants from the sustainable energy scheme so that when you do start turning these buildings into modern apartments, that they're actually quite good on the energy front, so you're not going to spend that a huge amount of money. And I think really simple things, such as putting in place more people from the local authorities and council across the country to crack down on owners of these buildings who have let them go derelict for years, put a tax on them, put a 6% tax, they're saying, every year on the owners of these buildings to get them back into use. This is a one way that would speed up getting more homes into circulation across the country. Now, like everybody else, they also have a wish list of things, but some of them are really practical. They're saying, look, get rid of that on things like heat pumps and insulation. We're told we have to make our homes more modern, not to waste energy, to decarbonize. Why are you charging hefty rates of VAT on products that cost tens of thousands of euro to people? Make them cheaper. Keep things like the Home Help to Build grant out there for first-time buyers so that they're not having to fork out massive deposits. All of these things cost a bit of money, but they don't cost a huge amount of money. And I think the Hardware Association, if Jack Chambers does read through that report, it's about 20-odd pages today, there's some practical things that they have in there that would actually help the housing crisis.
Ian Guider of the Business Post, many thanks for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.